Much grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Text for this morning's message is our epistle reading from the book of Hebrews. And our focus this morning is going to be on verses 24 and 25. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Let's pray together. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have gathered us together to hear the good news of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We always pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit may work through this word so that our faith in Christ is strong and that faith may overflow in lives of love and good works to all people. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to put a picture in your mind. And in order to do that, I want to tell you a story I heard about an elder of a church down in Tennessee that went to go visit one of the members of the church that was on his, care list. And he was going there because he hadn't seen this member in worship in a long time. And so he drove up one night, and the member was sitting next to a charcoal fire that he had been using earlier on to grill something. And so they said hi to each other, and they said, long time no see, exchange pleasantries and greetings. And then the elder said to the member, "You know why I'm here, right?" Member just kind of nodded. And then without saying a word, the elder picked up some tongs and picked up one coal and moved it away from all the others, separated it, and put it down, put the tongs down, and did not say a word. And yet both of them knew exactly what was going on. As they watched this one coal that was separated, the fire started to die down. And the point was obvious. If you're going to separate yourself from the body of Christ in worship, the flame of faith is going to die and be snuffed out completely. Got the picture? The reason I wanted to plant that picture in your mind is because I'm going to call out the elephant in the room. You may have noticed, not as many people are attending worship services these days. They're not. Not here at St. John's. In fact, not here at churches in North America. Now, of course, I'm kind of trying to be a little sensitive about this issue just because we're still in a pandemic. And for a long time, we were told, stay home. Don't gather, don't congregate because you could get sick. And so I wanted to be sensitive about that, and at the same time, I'm still kind of sensitive about people gathering, God's people gathering in worship, either because, we don't require masks, or, because they require masks, and it's just, all over the place. But truth be told, attendance at worship services has been declining well before you and I ever heard of something called COVID-19. Yes, many church-based research groups have done countless surveys among both the unchurched and God's people, and they've come to the conclusion that nearly 70, somewhere up to 80% of the population have no interest whatsoever in any kind of worship gathering. Doesn't matter time, doesn't matter date, doesn't matter style of worship or whatnot. They are not coming. It seems like more and more people are neglecting gathering together. Which brings us to our text here from the book of Hebrews. The author of the book of Hebrews, he's facing the same situation. And he's actually in our text here encouraging God's people not to neglect gathering together. You see, he noticed that some of God's people were in a habit of not gathering. It was a pattern of behavior. It was a routine, a rut that they had set in. And what was the reason for this? Well, something that you and I may not exactly be familiar with. It was persecution. Yeah, they had come to faith in Jesus Christ through the proclamation of the gospel. And as soon as they believed and were baptized, there was a target put on their back. Things started to become very difficult for them. There were strained relationships, sometimes within marriages and families even. They were losing economic prosperity because of their faith. And for some of them, yes, there was outright violence. And so they were thinking, I don't want to be associated with these people if this is what's going to happen to me. So they had separated from the group. And the author of the book of Hebrews was distraught because he knew once you separate that coal from the other burning coals, the flame's going to go out. These people were abandoning the faith because when they separated themselves from God's people, they were actually separating themselves from God's own son. So the author of the book of Hebrews is encouraging them to kick the habit, to gather together, to encourage one another, to stir one another up to love and good deeds, and all the more as the day approaches. And I'm sure the author of Hebrews, he would encourage you and me as well to do the same. But I want you to think about those coals again. I want you to think about the one coal that has separated. But then I want you to look at the other coals and notice that there is no fire burning at all. Nothing. Why would that one coal want to go back to the other ones when there's no fire there? You know, many people have offered all kinds of reasons why worship attendance and gatherings is declining. And, you know, they're talking about online church, you know, the rise of online church. Once the pandemic hit, every church practically scrambled to go online, right? That is how you worshiped. Every pastor became a televangelist, you know. And it's so much easier to just get up and you're still in your pajamas and you just get your coffee and your breakfast and just kick back and worship, you know. That's why we're not gathering. Other people said, well, there's more options than ever out there. There's sports on weekends, there's movies, there's concerts, there are events to go to. Some families just, you know, they're busy all week and they just want to go and have breakfast together. Yeah, there's so many more options. Why would they give up the time and energy to come and gather in worship? A lot of people have said the culture has changed, right? Christianity used to be at the center of the culture. It paid attention to it. It was directed by it. But now Christianity is definitely on the fringes. People don't care really much about Christianity. It's not relevant to their lives. So why should they even think about coming together. Those are all legitimate reasons. But I want to offer one more reason, and I think it's a big reason. We don't gather, we neglect to gather, because we are not encouraged. When we gather, we don't stir one another up to love and good works. We don't stir one another up with the good news of Jesus Christ. No, we are instead stirred up to anger. We are stirred up to strife because we look at other Christians, at their failures, at their faults, at how they let us down, how they let me down. And we can't take it. They're supposed to be Christian. They're supposed to be loving and caring and serving and have a heart of gold. But look at them. They're a mess. I mean, you don't see them as someone for whom Christ died and rose. Instead, you see someone that, you know, really needs to die for their sin. Oh, judgment, gossip, criticism, it just flows. And then the separation begins. Why? Why would God's people want to gather together when the fire has gone out and all that's left is cold, harsh judgment over others' sins? But there is a fire burning, right? You look at the coals and there is a fire that is burning, that is making them burn in the first place. So brothers and sisters in Christ, maybe we need to be reminded once again and always about the one who gathers us all in the first place, and that is Jesus Christ. You see, before the author of Hebrews encourages the people to stir one another up to love and good works, before he encourages them to gather together, before he encourages them to be encouraging to one another, he encourages them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And here he describes the work of Jesus Christ as our great high priest. He is the one that sacrifices himself for all of our sins. And it is a one-time offering for all of our sins so that we are made perfect. We are made holy. We are made righteous in God's sight. And he goes on, because of Jesus, I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds. We have received the blessings of Jesus Christ, his sacrifice on the cross. Because of Jesus, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Whatever sin is weighing you down that you just can't forget, that just keeps hanging on in your mind and in your life, guess what? God has forgotten it. He doesn't remember it. What sin? There's no. It's gone. Because of Jesus, where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. There's nothing more to be done to make us holy and righteous. Nothing. It's done. Jesus has done it all. It is finished. And now we are confident to be in the presence of God because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now we have the full assurance of faith because our hearts have been sprinkled clean and our bodies have been washed with the pure water of holy baptism. Now we have hope. Hope. Because Jesus is faithful to his promises. I will be with you always. I will love you. I will save you and forgive your sin. And Jesus has gathered all of us under this wonderful good news. We have received all of his blessings together as his people. We share in his forgiveness, in his love, in his sacrifice. That is the fire that is burning in all of us. Therefore, let us gather together to encourage one another. Let's gather together in worship. And don't get me wrong. When you come to worship, I pray that you are not thinking this, well, I've checked off my to-do list here for the week. I have come to worship, and therefore God loves me and is pleased with me. No. He is pleased with you in Jesus Christ. And I pray every single day that I will never, ever guilt trip you into getting here. I'm not going to say to you, you know, you need to come to worship. No. But I will encourage you to come here and realize what this is all about in the first place. We are encouraged by the Lord. We are receiving his gifts of his word and his sacraments, so that we can then be encouraging to one another. So let us gather together outside of worship. I remember someone coming up to me a while back and saying, Pastor, you know what the most important part of worship is? Played along. Okay, I'll bite. What is it? It's the coffee hour afterwards. And we both knew what he meant. Yes, we are certainly encouraged. We receive God's gifts and the Lord builds us up. But it's then that you go out from worship and gather with God's people to encourage them with that good news. And you can do it during coffee hour. You can do it anywhere. You can do it in the car ride home. You can do it in a coffee shop. You can do it in a restaurant. You can do it in your neighborhood. You can do it at work. You can do it wherever you are going. Because wherever you are is a chance to gather with God's people and encourage one another, to spur them on to love and good works through the gospel of Jesus Christ. So let us gather together as the day comes near. And you know what I'm talking about. The last day, when our Lord Jesus will come, and that will be the final gathering of everyone, believers and unbelievers. And for those who believe in Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that will be a day of salvation, where we will be stirred up to praise because we will be in the holy places with God forever, all because we encouraged one another right here, right now, with the gospel of Jesus, to love one another and to do good works in his name. So back to our elder and member. As they were both watching this one coal dying out, the member nodded and said, all right, I get it. I'll come back to worship. I will. And the elder said, that's great. But that's not why I'm here. He then took the tongs and he picked up another coal and put it next to the one that was dying out. And all of a sudden, both of them lit up into flames again. And the elders said to the member, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them." We're already gathered. So tell me, how can I encourage you? I truly pray that this will be the habit of more and more of God's people. And all the more as the day draws near. Amen.